السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سورة الحجر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الف لام را، تلك آيات الكتاب وقرآن مبين. ربما يود الذين كفروا لو كانوا مسلمين. ذرهم يأكلوا ويتمتعوا ويلههم الأمل فسوف يعلمون. وما أهلكنا من قرية إلا ولها كتاب معلوم. ما تسبق من أمة أجلها وما يستأخرون.
Juz number 14. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Alif Lam Ra. تلك آيات الكتاب وقرآن مبين. ربما يود الذين كفروا لو كانوا مسلمين. ذرهم يأكلوا ويتمتعوا ويلههم الأمل فسوف يعلمون. Alif Lam Ra. These are the verses of the book and a clear Quran. Perhaps those who disbelieve will wish that they had been Muslims. Today they reject, but soon there will be a time when they will repeatedly regret and they will repeatedly wish that they had been Muslim, that they had accepted Islam. ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا. But let them eat and enjoy themselves and be diverted by false hope, for they are going to know what they had been doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, and He has sent us in this world and given us freedom for a limited time also, so that we may do whatever we want. If we want, we can do good. And if we want, we can do bad. If we want, we can surrender to Allah. And if we want, we can remain stubborn on disbelief. But remember, this freedom of choice is for a test. And it is for a limited time. This freedom will expire very soon. Many among people do not take this life as a test. And instead, they are lost in heedlessness, enjoying their freedom. And when death will come before them, they will realize what this life was really about. And then regrets will begin. When all the freedom is going to be snatched away. When the angel of death comes before a person. And he comes to know how he has spent his entire life. At the time of death, a person will realize how he spent his life. And he will remember all those times in his life when Islam was evident to him, yet he did not accept it. When the truth of Allah the Almighty was evident, yet he did not accept it. When he was advised to do right, but he ignored. When Ramadan came, and he did not avail the opportunity. When it was time to repent, but he did not benefit from that. He did not repent. And instead, he followed the voice of his desire. So what will happen then when death will come? What will happen when a person is put in his grave? What will happen when the trumpet is blown? What will happen when the people are gathered for hisab? This person will wish, not just once, but over and over again, if only he had accepted, if only he had been Muslim, if only he had been obedient to Allah. So, never ever be deceived by the freedom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us here. Because this freedom is for a very short amount of time. It is going to expire very soon. So if we manage to disobey Allah because we can, let's not exult in that. Let's not be fooled by that. Because this freedom is very, very short. It's very temporary. We know exactly how very quickly death can come to a person. How quickly a person can go from being perfectly fine to being completely disabled. dependent on others, in a coma, unable to even respond to pain. This is how life is. But what happens? Because we have freedom here, because we can leave our prayer, we leave it. Because we can lie, we lie. Because we can leave an opportunity to do good, we leave it. Without thinking that this time, this freedom is very, very little. I am going to die one day. And I am going to be answerable to Allah for what I have done. And at the same time, what this ayah teaches us, that we should never be impressed by people who are busy disobeying Allah. Because we tend to admire them. We tend to feel jealous of them, that they're so lucky. They can do this, they can do that. No, never feel jealous. They are worth pity. Because right now, they're enjoying disobeying Allah. But there will come a time when they will regret it all. Especially when the believers will be taken out of hellfire. Because we know that if a person has even the slightest amount of iman in his heart, and he has committed many sins, okay, he's punished in the hellfire, but eventually he will be taken out of hellfire. And when the believers will be taken out of hellfire, then the disbelievers will regret. They will wish they had been believers. At least they had said the kalima. At least they had said that Allah is one. Had they done that, then perhaps they too would have been taken out of the fire. So they will be in eternal regret. So we should use this freedom today very carefully. And we should make use of this time, of this life that Allah has given over here. So that we can reap the rewards in the hereafter. Let's use this world as a place of work. Let's use the workplace as a workplace. This world is a workplace. And the real home is which one? The home of Jannah. So let's leave the comforts and pleasures and delights for where? For Jannah. The home of comfort. This dunya is a workplace. So let's treat it like a workplace. وَمَا أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَرِيَةٍ إِلَّا وَلَهَا كِتَابٌ مَعْلُومٌ And we did not destroy any city, but that for it was a known decree. This is for both individuals and communities. Nations also. That each person, he can only live until his time of expiry. For each person is an amount of time that he can live in this world. And eventually that time will expire. Eventually it will come to an end. Every person who is born, one day he is buried. One day he dies. His soul leaves the body. Likewise, nations also, communities also, empires also. Look at history. What happens? They rise and then eventually they fall. They enjoy their freedom up to a certain amount of time. And then what happens? Their time comes to an end. And they are wiped off from the face of the earth. No nation will precede its term, nor will they remain thereafter. وَقَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِي نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرِ إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ And they say, O you who, upon whom the message has been sent down, indeed you are mad. This madness, even the Prophet ﷺ was accused of. So what if we are accused of some madness for the little work that we do for the sake of Allah? They said, Why do you not bring us the angels if you should be among the truthful? Meaning show us. We do not send down the angels except with truth, meaning with the punishment. And the disbelievers would not then be reprieved. Indeed, it is we who sent down the Qur'an. And indeed, we will be its guardian. Allah will guard this Qur'an. At the time when the Qur'an was being revealed, the Prophet ﷺ's life was in danger. Constantly in danger. The Sahaba could not even recite the Qur'an out openly. Once a companion recited Surah Al-Rahman, what a beautiful surah it is. Even if you don't understand what it means, it just sounds so beautiful. If anything, just appreciate the melody. And that sahabi, he was reciting Surah Al-Rahman, and the people attacked him. They attacked him to the point that they almost killed him. But what does Allah say? Allah will preserve this Qur'an. And so when the Qur'an was being revealed, Allah preserved it. From those who tried to stop its revelation, and those who tried to stop its propagation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the Qur'an, despite all the efforts against the Qur'an. And even when the Qur'an was revealed, we learned that shayateen, they go up to the skies in order to listen to the conversations of the angels, so that they can find out about what is to happen. But when the Qur'an was being revealed, the skies were very well guarded, so that shayateen could not even come near. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ And this was not just in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Even after his death, Allah Himself has taken the responsibility of protecting this Qur'an from getting lost, from being forgotten, from being changed, from being altered, from being revised, from being edited. It will forever remain perfect as it is. How? The word of Allah. The word of Allah, Allah is perfect. His word is perfect. So what we need to think about is that if Allah has revealed this Qur'an and has promised to preserve it, why do you think He has promised to preserve it? Why? Because we are in need of it. This is just like water. Are there huge supplies of water in this world? Yes. Whether it is in the form of underground reservoirs or icebergs, whatever it may be, Allah has preserved water. Why? Because water is essential for life. For our spiritual life, for our eternal life, what is essential? The Qur'an is essential. Without it, we cannot live spiritually. We cannot survive. So if Allah has promised to protect this Qur'an, the question is, how much am I benefiting from the Qur'an? If Allah has honored His speech so much, how much do I honor the book of Allah? By reciting it, by reflecting upon it, by studying its meanings, by acting upon it. What am I doing with the kalam of Allah? This is something that each and every one of us needs to question ourselves. Ask yourself, what am I doing with the book of Allah? How much of the book of Allah did I recite today? Do I plan to recite today? How much of the book of Allah do I reflect upon? Do I really act upon? Realizing that this is the word of Rabbul Alameen. And we had certainly sent messengers before you, O Prophet, among the sects of the former peoples. And no messenger would come to them except that they ridiculed him. Thus do we insert denial into the hearts of the criminals. Meaning, when they hear the Qur'an, when they hear the truth, they only get annoyed. They only go deeper in their kufr. They will not believe in it while there has already occurred the precedent of the former peoples. And even if we opened to them a gate from the heaven and they continued therein to ascend, they would say, our eyes have been dazzled. Rather, we are a people affected by magic. Meaning no matter what they are shown, no matter what proof, what miracle they are shown, those who don't want to believe, they will not believe. And sadly, those who don't want to benefit from the Qur'an, then no matter how much of it they learn, no matter how much of it they memorize, they don't benefit. Why? Because that love, that yearning, that need is not there. We only take from the Qur'an as much as we love and appreciate the Qur'an. And our love and appreciation for the Qur'an should not just be in the form of memorizing its word-to-word translation and just writing tests and assignments or marking them, or listening to other people, or just teaching it. No, this is not love. Even a person who is working somewhere, he could do this kind of a job. His heart is not in it. He's not passionate about it. A person could be making coffee, giving cups of coffee one after the other all day. And he doesn't even drink coffee himself. Right? But he's doing it. Why? He's just getting paid. He's doing it for the sake of doing it. It's a job for him. But then there are other people who are passionate about coffee. They're passionate. When you talk to them, they'll inspire you. They will put the love and appreciation of coffee in your heart. You know, when they'll decorate the froth on top with their art, why do they do that? It shows that they're passionate about what they do. So we need to think, I am coming, I am sitting with the book of Allah. Is this just something that is a chore? Is this just something that I'm doing for the sake of doing it? Because I just want to spend my time doing something? I couldn't find anything else, so I'm just doing this? So I'm teaching the Qur'an, or I'm listening to it, or I'm marking test papers, or I am writing test papers, whatever it may be. We need to really question ourselves and really look into our hearts that what love for the book of Allah do I have in my heart? Because if that love is not there, if that thirst is not there, then the Qur'an will come, but it will not enter the heart. It will enter the mind, and then it will leave. It will not go into the heart. It will not penetrate. And if it doesn't go into the heart, the actions will not change. Then this work will be a burden. It will be a burden. It will be a chore. وَلَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا فِي السَّمَاءِ بُرُوجًا وَزَيَّنَّاهَا لِلنَّاظِرِينَ And we have placed within the sky great stars and have beautified it for the observers. Stars have always been of interest to people. But sadly, people have not learned from them what they should have learned. And instead, like many other things in this world, these stars have increased people in their error, in their misguidance. That we forget that these stars are Allah's creation. And instead, what is it that people do? They think that their fate is determined by these stars, by the movement, by the paths of these stars. The Prophet ﷺ warned us. He said, if anyone acquires any knowledge of astrology, he has acquired a branch of magic. He has acquired a branch of magic. And what is magic? Kufr. Of which he gets more as long as he continues to do so. Meaning the more a person indulges in astrology, takes interest in it, the more disbelief he is committing. So what we see from this is that the stars are there. We look at them. However, we should not take interest in astrology. The Prophet ﷺ said, when the stars are mentioned, then refrain. Meaning when the people start talking about stars, that this particular star determines this in your life. No, then refrain. And do not believe that they have any effect. The Prophet ﷺ said, what I fear the most for the latter part of my ummah are three things. Believing in the stars, denying divine decree, and the oppression of the rulers. The oppression of the rulers. These three things the Prophet ﷺ feared most for his ummah to come in the later times. So we should not even take interest in any such thing. You know, we should get over these questions like, what is your star, horoscope, right? And the traits of that star, reading about it, listening to it, etc. We should avoid anything like this. Why? Because it contradicts iman. وَحَفِظْنَاهَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ And we have protected the sky from every devil that is expelled, except one who steals a hearing and is pursued by a clear burning flame. Like I mentioned to you earlier, the shayateen, they go up to the skies in order to listen to the conversations of the angels, in order to get some information about what is to happen in the future. Why? So that they can go and give that information to their human counterparts, right? Who are so-called soothsayers and astrologers and people who know the knowledge of the future. So they go and give them this information. But when the shayateen go up there in order to listen, what happens? Allah says, فَأَتْبَعُهُ شِهَابٌ مُّبِينٌ Then he is pursued by a clear burning flame. Why? So that he may be killed. Just imagine. I mean, when a shaitan goes up to the sky, he knows he's putting his life at risk. But he does it anyway. He does it anyway. So many die in this process, but they do it anyway. There have been so many casualties, but they do it anyway. The question is, what am I doing for the haqq, for the truth? How eager am I? How desperate am I for reward that Allah has, so that I will also fast, even though I know I'll be hungry. Even though I know my blood pressure will go down, and I'll get tired by the end of the day. But still, how eager am I for the promise that Allah has made with me? And the earth, we have spread it and cast therein firmly set mountains and caused to grow therein something of every well-balanced thing. And we have made for you therein means of living and for whom you are not providers. Meaning, we provide for you in this earth and there's so many other creatures living on the earth that you do not provide for. Who provides for them? Allah provides for them. And there is not a thing, but that with us are its depositories, its khazain. So no need to despair. No need to feel jealous if someone else has been given something that you wanted and your turn has not come yet. Why? Because Allah has the treasures of everything. So if someone has been given something and our turn has not yet come, should we feel envious? No. Why? Because Allah's treasures have not been exhausted. You know, for example, if I have two cookies and you really want a cookie, if I give both the cookies to your friend, yes, you have a reason to be upset that you didn't get anything. Why? Because I can't even give you a cookie. Because I've run out of cookies. Both are gone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does He have? Khazain. He has depositories, treasures, endless, boundless treasures. So why worry? Why fear if someone has been given something that we wanted? We wanted to? Fine, ask Allah. Allah will give us when He wants. Allah will give it to us also. If somebody's turn has come for receiving a particular blessing and we are still waiting, Don't worry, don't despair. Allah's treasures have not ended. They have not been exhausted. Then how come we haven't received it yet? Because وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ And we do not send it down except according to a known measure. Meaning Allah only sends down His blessings according to a certain measure. So what does it mean? If Allah has given me something in my life right now, that is something that is enough for me right now. Because if I needed more, Allah would have given me more. Allah would have given me more. And when I will need something, then Allah will provide it for me. This is something that we need to have conviction about. You know, because sometimes we're always thinking about what we don't have, what we're still waiting for. Well, you know what? Allah has decided. Allah sends everything according to a certain measure. He has decreed when we need something and when we need it, He will send it. He will send it. You know, for example, every child that is born, with the child, the rizq also comes, the provision also comes. You know, like for example, in this country, every child receives a certain amount of money from the government, right? I mean, regardless of what your financial situation is, every child receives it. Now, the same amount of money, could the parents receive it before the child was born? No way. What happens? The moment child is born, that same month, that money starts coming in. Why? Because now that money is needed. I mean, this is just an example of how the systems of this world even function. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His system is perfect. When we need something, there is no way that He will not give it. He will certainly give it. وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدْرٍ مَعْلُومٍ What we need to do is trust Allah's decision and accept that yes, right now, I desire something, but perhaps I don't need it. This is why Allah has not given it to me yet. Perhaps I don't need it right now. I desire it, I like it, I'd love to have it, but I can do without it. And the moment I cannot do without it, Allah will give it to me. Because وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدْرٍ مَعْلُومٍ And every decision of Allah is according to His wisdom, and His wisdom is greater than my knowledge and my desires. وَأَرْسَلْنَا الرِّيَاحَ And we have sent the fertilizing winds, and sent down water from the sky, and given you drink from it, and you are not its retainers. We are not ones to retain water. We are not ones to control rain, how much rain should fall, where it should fall. No, we don't control that. Who controls that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just as we don't have control over rain, we don't have control over other provisions. And if we were given the control over the rain, then what would happen? This world would be dead today. There would be no life. Because we cannot manage these things. Can we manage a jug of water in our room? Like seriously. I mean, these days you want to sleep with some water next to you in case you wake up late for sahur. What happens at night time? As you're lying down, you look at your jug, it's empty. Like, oh, I forgot again. Because we forget, we cannot manage all these things. So the matter of our rizq has not been left to us. Allah has kept it in His hand. So what do we need to do? Just accept it. You know, just like your father says sometimes, or your husband says, this is the amount of money that I can give you for this month. That's it. Figure it out how you're going to use it. But that's all you're going to get. You don't need to care about the bills or anything. This is just your spending money. You're like, okay, yeah, I don't need to know how much insurance, how much rent, how much water, whatever, bills. I can't manage everything. Just give me what I can spend. Why? It's easier. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done that the same thing with us. He's taken the management away from us and He's giving us what we need, when we need, according to a certain measure. وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ نُحْيِي وَنُمِيتُ وَنَحْنُ الْوَارِثُونَ And indeed, it is we who give life and cause death, and we are the inheritor. So if someone is born, then be grateful. And when someone dies, then be patient beautifully. Why? Because nothing of this happens except with Allah's decision. And we are the inheritor, meaning all will die ultimately, and a time will come when only Allah shall be there. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ Dhil jalali wal ikram. And we have certainly known the preceding generations among you. And we have already known the later ones to come. And indeed your Lord will gather them. Indeed He is wise and knowing. And we did certainly create man out of salsalim min hama'im masnoon. We created man out of clay from an altered black mud. Black mud. What does it mean? Mud that has been wet too long, and so it has become sticky. It has started to smell. This is the kind of mud that Allah created us from. So let's remember our origin in order that we may remain humble. And the jinn we created before from scorching fire.